Welcome to episode 12 of Confessions of a Casting Director, where you will hear advice, wisdom, and true stories from inside the audition room. I'm your podcast host, Jen Rudin. We are shifting the bi-weekly episodes to weekly for the next few weeks as we continue to monitor the coronavirus. So I'm so excited that every week I'm going to be sharing new episodes with you, including today's episode, Getting Your Digital House in Order. We are chatting with Ellen Saucelli, one of the founders of Stage Door Designs. She and her business partner, Carter Sale, founded the company in January of 2010 to support the marketing, digital, and online needs of savvy actors, their families, and other members of the arts community. It's a full-service agency for actors and performers. They provide consulting for families getting started in the business, and they build websites and marketing support and all kinds of services. I am so proud to know Ellen and Carter. Ellen and Carter designed not only JenRudinCasting.com and PurpleGlassesProductions.com, both of my websites, but also if you get an email from me, those red glasses at the bottom of my email and on all of my marketing materials was designed by Stage Door Designs. So without further ado, I am so excited to welcome Ellen Saucelli, one of the founders of Stage Door Designs, to our podcast. We are on with my friend and my own personal web designer, Ellen Saucelli. How are you, Ellen?
I am great, Jen. Thanks so much for having me today.
I know. Well, you have certainly saved my life many times and my parents. So I think we first met, actually, I know Jake, your son, because you have a young actor in show business. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your origin story and how you started off creating Stage Door Designs and what your background is.
Yeah, so yes, I think I remember one of the first times that I was the mother sitting in the hallway while Jake went in for some kind of a voiceover audition for some kind of a fabulous cartoon. And he didn't book it, but, you know, that's showbiz. So, a little bit about me. So I spent most of my career working in sales and marketing and product development in financial services. Believe it or not.
I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked for BNY Mellon for a long time. I worked for JPMorgan Chase for a long time. Like you, I had an interest in theater and acting and I sing. But after a couple of years of studying voice in college, I decided that I didn't want to wait tables. I was not up for that. And I changed my major to business and studied marketing. So I've always had an interest in the theater. I'm a big fan. I have a bathroom in my house that is full of playbills from all the shows we've seen. And when Jake was little, I kind of knew he had a voice. And I was a little terrified about what to do with it, to be perfectly honest. So I kind of did nothing until he said, I want to do this.
And how old was he when he expressed an interest? How old was he when he said, I think I want to do this?
I think he was about 7 or 8. He was going to a summer camp out here on Long Island called USDAN. And they gave them a little smattering of everything. You know, they would dance a little, they would sing a little, they would sculpt. It was a very wonderful, beautiful setting, arts camp. And it was there that he learned how much he loved it. And he got to do his first show. It was Free to Be You and Me. And actually he did it with Larry Saperstein.
Oh, who I helped.
Musical.
Yes. And I was actually part of the New York casting for the new High School Musical show on Disney Plus. And I was there for all of Larry's auditions.
Yeah. So I'll have to show you a picture someday of Larry and Jake dancing together when they're like 7.
Oh, cute.
You know, they were first friends. At any rate, when all was said and done, after they did that little Free to Be You and Me, Jake said, when's my next show?
Wow.
And I said, I don't know. So we found a theater out here on Long Island, the John Engerman, which is a beautiful little equity theater in Northport. And he went in and auditioned for Oliver and he booked it. He was one of the boys and he was Oliver's understudy. And by the time that was over, I had met a bunch of moms who were doing this much more than I was. And I was learning a lot. And he signed with Shirley Grant. and the rest is history.
So Jake now had just graduated from college, or is supposed to, despite the virus and everything being canceled.
Exactly. Jake's at Montclair State. He is a BFA candidate studying acting. He just finished all of his showcases in New York, literally like a day before things started to unravel. So they go back into online classes, and yeah, he'll graduate in some way in May.
And so let's talk now how you go from being a mother, I dare I say stage mother, because we know what sort of negative connotations that can have. As one mother said to me many years ago, just by bringing your child to an audition, you are considered you're a bad mother or stage mother. But so you're taking Jake around, and tell me how Stage Door Designs was born, because it's, you're providing an amazing service to those of us who are technically challenged and people who need your services. So tell us how the company was born.
Stage Door Designs was born in Kansas City, Missouri, actually, at the Kansas City Rep. Jake went in for an audition for the world premiere of A Christmas Story, the musical. I'll never forget when Shirley Grant called and said, they want to see him for this, and you know how all that goes. And my husband said, Missouri, why are you auditioning for that? We live in New York. And I said, don't worry, he'll never book it. He did. And we went to Missouri, and it was there that Jake and I met Carter and Zachary Sale. And Zachary had booked the role of Ralphie Parker, and Jake was in his snowsuit being Randy Parker.
Oh, how cute. Okay.
And we were there with, lots of other families putting this show on the road, if you will. This was before Pasek and Paul got involved in the show. So this was the very first time it was hitting a stage.
What year is it? Do you remember what year this is?
It's 2009, I want to say. I have to play the
whole
movie. I'll cheat.
Just to give us context in terms of like technology and websites and where people were. So it's 2009. Yeah. You're in Kansas City, Missouri.
We're getting the kids to rehearsal and school and all that jazz. And, the parents are hanging out and talking and getting to know each other. And Carter had actually built a website for Zachary, and he was sharing it with me. And I was like, wow, do they need these? And he explained to me, what a great tool it was and how he used it to share Zachary's media with Nancy Carson and other, folks that he was working with. And I was like, that's kind of cool. And I said, maybe I need to do one for Jake. And he's like, yeah, you could do one for Jake. And we started to just chat more about all of the responsibilities that a parent has, in addition to making sure their tap shoes and their sandwich bag is in for rehearsal. And I said, I wonder if this would be a service that people would be interested in. And Carter's like, well, I know how to build a website. I know how to do that. He goes, but selling something, I'm not so sure. And I said, well, funny, because that's pretty much what I've spent my whole career doing, is marketing and building products. And so we decided to give it a shot and see if we could help some parents, not only with websites, but with, what does an industry standard resume look like? Or how do you set your kid up on Actors Access and make sure the pictures are matched to the agent and all that stuff. And we reached out to a few friends and said, let us build your website. Let us figure out what this process should look like and feel like. And that's what we did.
And what was the original platform you were using to build the websites? Because Squarespace didn't exist. I mean, was it Dreamcatcher? I remember my very first website.
Yeah, it was Dreamweaver.
Dreamcatcher.
There was another tool that Carter was using. And truthfully, at that moment, I had no idea how to build a website. I knew how to work with the client, help identify all their media, get it all together. And Carter was really the graphic genius behind putting them together. And as time went on, I learned a little more, and I learned how to build some tools, and I can actually build one now, which is amazing to me. But we are quite a team. So yeah, so then it was that. And it was the kind of thing where we built it, we maintained it, we managed it for the client, because it was kind of very technical as to how, you know, it worked and how you kept it up to date. Of course, fast forward, you know, 5 years, and we've got tools out there like Weebly and Squarespace and Wix and so on and so forth, where we can build a site and then we can manage and maintain it for a client, or we can teach them how to do it themselves so that they can go in and tweak things as need be, whether it's, you know, a phone number or, you know, I'm no longer 48 inches. Now I'm the dreaded 61.
Right. So before I talk about my sort of my involvement and how you fixed and rebuilt my websites. So you got parents who, between you and me, I mean, some of them are still using Yahoo accounts, right? You've got parents who are sort of like overwhelmed and not so technical and kind of, you know, trying to stay up to date and trying to get their kids ready for their auditions. And it's like, as I always say, like, go to the dentist, go to your accountant, hire a professional to build your website. Because if you don't know what you're doing, it's technical and it's difficult. And there's so many ways to screw it up. Mine was on WordPress for a while before you took it over, jenrudin.com, jenrudincasting.com. And I remember one time I went in to try to fix something and I had to call Darren, my first web designer. You're panicking and saying, I messed it all up. So how did you, did Carter get you onto some of the websites to show you what he was doing? Or did you split the work that you were involved with the client and what their needs were and he was doing the tech stuff? And furthermore, working with Carter, did you make a business agreement or a handshake? Since you were born,
it kind of started with a handshake. You know, we trusted each other enough to kind of get it started and worked on making sure we had, you know, a business plan in place and all that good stuff. And it evolved, and yeah, you know, agreements and all that kind of stuff that you have to have. Jen, I'm going to ask you to pause me for one.
You got your doggy barking.
He barked.
You know, because we're both working from home, and of course that comes with dogs and husbands and all kinds of
dogs and husbands,
in that order. So when did things? I mean, how did you handle it? Were you all of a sudden overwhelmed? Did you? Was it word of mouth? Did you take out an ad on Playbill.com? How did you do it?
So we really started word of mouth. I mean, at that point, when the business began, I'm going to let Harley in and let's see how he does.
Okay.
He just really wants to look out the window. So we really started by word of mouth. At that point, both Carter and I were spending a lot of time in places like Telsey and Ripley Greer and Pearl and waiting for the boys to finish an audition or take a class. And you know, so we had our business cards and we'd start talking to people, and we had a little website of our own, and the word of mouth just kind of spread. We started working with teachers, you know, people like Tommy Redder, who teaches tap a lot in the city, and Jake had been studying with him, and we ended up building a site for Ricky Hines from Newsies. And
yeah,
now,
and High School Musical. That's where I first met him when I worked.
And now Company. Soon, hopefully. And so the word sort of spread. To be perfectly honest, we've never taken like big ads. We've never had to. You know, this is a business of referrals, right?
Yeah,
when people
absolutely.
Are looking for agents and managers and coaches, they go to other people and say, who's helping you do this? And we have an amazing, amazing portfolio of clients who have become friends. And every time one of their kids succeeds, we jump for joy for them. And every time one of them has a disappointment, we cry with them, because we know how it feels. Because first and foremost, this is where we started.
Sure. So how many websites do you think you've built in the past 10 years?
Oh gosh, we've built over 500 websites. And we've probably helped over another 500 people just with like incidental things. You know, someone who's just getting started, who has no idea how to put a resume together, or who just brings us in because their kids got credits on IMDb and they're not accurately reflected and they don't know how to go about doing that. So I would say, you know, well over 1,000 families have kind of come through our lives in one way or another.
It's so amazing. And every time on Facebook, when somebody's like, help, I need a website, I just jump right on. I'm like, Ellen Saucelli. Like, because it also bothers me. You know, I feel like so many people can learn, you know, to do something on Squarespace or design their own. But the fact that you understand the clientele. So not only do you understand from your own point of view as a parent of somebody, of a young actor in this business, but also you understand your clients because you are one of your clients in a strange way. And my website was my web designer who I cycled with in the New York Cycle Club. I remember he was moving on and into a different form of the business. And I just want to say how quickly you turn everything around. You know, I think that's one of the things that is so great is that it's quick and it's done. So you can get something up fast. And also, of course, you've helped me out through, you know, when I forgot to renew my domain name and trying to get Jen Rudin back. And I had you on a speakerphone with GoDaddy and I was being very firm with them, but just that sort of those panic moments, right? And by panic, I mean panic, not this virus. I mean panic, like I got to get this website up for my kids. So that, and also I want to say a shout out to MarshaRudin.com and JamesRudin.com. You built both the websites for my parents.
Yes.
And their books and dealing with my parents as clients who, you know, are finally opening up PDFs on their phone.
They're lovely. We love working with them.
So I want to talk a little bit about kids and social media, because first of all, everyone hears things, thinks that parents think they need to do certain things. And let's just focus on the young actors for the moment. Do they need a website, Ellen? Do they need clips in a reel? Do they need a social media account? What do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's funny because that's a question that parents ask me every single day. Do I need this? You know, and listen, we're not pushy salespeople here. We're not. And we understand firsthand that this is not an inexpensive, quote unquote, hobby, right? So do you need a website? I kind of used to answer that question, no, you don't need one, but here's why it's good to have one, right? There's one place, JakeBennettSiegfried.com, ZacharySale.com, whoever it happens to be, where you can go and see everything from headshots and resumes, reels, photographs, social media. You know, if you have a child who's active on social media in relation to their career, where the parent oversight is there for the younger set, for sure. It's one place. It's, you know, it's the door to your house where somebody can go, somebody like you. Or, you know, other casting directors who are out there casting projects to see a little more than what might be in that self-tape or a little more than what might be in the audition room when we were going into the audition room.
And we'll go back to the audition room. But I think for me, it's really helpful because, you know, I will see as many kids as possible when I'm doing kids casting. And in fact, for many years, I was exclusively doing just like kid searches for people in Los Angeles. That was my go-to business for a while. And I will always see a new kid or give them a self-tape request. However, it really helps me to even just be on their websites, seeing some clips of whether it's a school show or, you know, a commercial that they've done, because I want to know, like, what do they look like on camera? And what does their voice sound like? Because it's one thing to see a great picture of them, a great headshot, but what do they sound like? Does the camera like their face? What is the camera angle? So for me, it's research, you know, and it saves time. So I think it's great. But do you find now that every parent wants a website for their kids?
I do find that, you know, and some take it on themselves, which is wonderful. And some will call us in if they get into crisis mode, you know, virus crisis, website crisis,
right.
Big problems. But yeah, people, I think what I'm seeing, the trend is that people are understanding that they need to have their digital house in order. And if that wasn't any more true than it has become in the past couple weeks, it certainly is, right? So whether or not you're ready for a website, you want to make sure you have your kid's name. You know, I remember we had one client who hadn't built a website for their child yet. Their child was in a principal role on Broadway, decided to go build it, and found out that a fan had secured that kid's name.
Oof.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds creepy, right? We got it back for them, and we were able to build a site for this client and retrieve the name and so on and so forth. And fortunately, it wasn't as creepy as it seemed. But from, you know, you want to have the domain name. And then as far as the website goes, you know, it's that great tool to bring everything together in one place. You know, does it have to be incredibly fancy with a million pages? Of course not. You know, for some of our kids who are just starting out, you know, a little 3-page website to hold exactly what you said, a headshot, a resume, how to get in touch with them, whether it's direct or through agent, manager, etc., and a place for you to see not only a picture of them, but to hear their voice and see how they look on camera.
Well, once somebody has a little bit more under their belt in terms of theater credits or film and TV, what are some of the additional pages that you suggest actors add to their website? Like if you start out with like the home page, the contact, the resume.
Yeah, we usually start out with a 3 or 4 page website. We want to have photos on there. We want to have a little bit of media on there if you've got something. Certainly a way to get in touch. And if you're using social media, we want to link to that. As the kids have more and more credits, and you know, the kids, and some of our kids aren't kids anymore, right? As our adult actors have more and more credits and more things out there, we add things like social feeds where we can actually take your Instagram account, for example, and feed it right into your website so that the minute you post something on Instagram, it automatically shows up on your site as well. We add things like review pages for kids who have for actors who have reviews out there, you know, whether it's a New York Times review or a Broadway World review or whatever the case may be. And certainly press for people who've got, you know, other kinds of press out there. We link our websites to industry tools. So we can link a website to your Actors Access profile. We can link a website to your IMDb profile, to your Broadway World page, or if you are fortunate enough to have spent some time on The Great White Way, to your Playbill Vault page. So that everything is really all there in one place. Some of our clients blog. Mm-hmm. So we build blog pages. In fact, we have a young lady in New York who is an author. She's written some books herself. She's on television now. She's just about to launch a new show. And she's a lifestyle blogger. And she's incredible. She's 16. I don't know how the heck she does all of it, but God bless her. So blogs too. So if we've got clients who are looking to blog, we've had moms and kids blog when they're out on national tours.
That's so great.
I remember it was Olivia Fanders, I think, when she was in Shrek overseas, and they were blogging about every step along the way. And that was really, you know, wonderful, because it was not only something, you know, obviously that industry people could see, but it was a way to also share this child's experience with family and friends who might not be able to see it.
How have you grown? You're a small business owner. I am too. Jen Rudin Casting turned 10 in August 2019. So now we're moving forward into the new decade. How have you grown as a business owner from those early days of 2009? And conversely, or in addition, how have you grown as a person, as a business owner? What advice would you tell anybody that wants to start a small business? And let's pretend it's not the virus, and let's pretend that this is back in the real world, because people will be listening to this podcast next week, which is March 2020, but they'll also be listening, you know, six months from now.
I'm happy to pretend that it's not the virus. So, you know, it's interesting. Like I think I said in the beginning, I started my career in financial services, and you know, it was wonderful, and it served me and my family well. But I think every day, about how I really wanted to be in the theater as a kid. And I'm not sure that my mother and father thought it was the best idea of all. And they were like, yeah, no, college, business. I was like, yeah, no, theater. Anyway, so look, I guess my first piece of advice is you never know when you're going to get that chance at a second act. And so should you do it? To me, the answer is absolutely. I remember my husband, Vin, saying to me when Carter and I started talking about doing this, he said to me, you're crazy, Ellen. He said, no one's going to come to you for that. You know, what experience do you have? And I said, I have a lot of experience. All these years of sales and marketing. It's just a different industry, and it's an industry that I know and love. So it's worth a try. What do we have to lose? We'll help some people along the way. He apologized for that later and congratulates us on our success all the time. He says, you astounded me. So I guess I've learned that, how shall I put this? You know, life is really a journey, right? Every day we do a little something different in our business. We add a little something, we add a feature or a way we manage the business. And I often think back to my days at BNY Mellon and Chase and the tools that I learned then. Someone else's business, and I use them today to manage mine.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's amazing. I learned, I had some classes at Disney where, you know, time management and overseeing, you know, employees, and I've used it, you know, in all my casting experience, overseeing freelance associates and just all those tools that I learned. Give us, you know, you talked a little bit on my Zoom chat on Monday about getting our digital house in order now that we all have a little bit of time because we're all at home. So what, can you expand on that? Because as we start to wrap things up, I really want to make sure that actors listening and parents listening have some action steps and next steps to do, Ellen, to help get their careers and their, as you brilliantly said, in a very rabbinic way, I want to share it with my father. So here's, Ellen Saadshelly said, get your digital house in order. What does that mean for a mom or a dad or an actor in their, you know, a grown-up actor to get
that
in order?
Well, I think the first thing that it means is that this was always a way that, you know, the industry was casting, but now more than ever. And I think it means that you absolutely should have your domain name. And here's the time to go out there and look at all the digital media that you have. And if you've got a child or a young adult or a new adult who's been doing this work over the years, chances are you've got a lot of files on your computer that are probably not so organized. So this would be a good time to kind of look at that. You know, decide what are my favorite production shots that we've used that I can put on a site to kind of give people a little bit of a visual history of the work that this young actor has done. It's a great time to look at video that you might have to see if we can't pull little pieces of clips and build a reel that could be shared on a website. It's a time to make sure that you have all your social media names in order so that, you know, even if you're not quite ready to do a lot of social, but that you have your name so that, you know, if it's Jen Rudin, you've got the domain, you've got the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, you know, the whole nine yards. I think it also means taking a look at all of those industry tools like Actors Access and Casting Networks, IMDb, if that applies to you, to make sure they look the way you want them to look. Are your most current pictures on there? Is your resume in order? Are your special skills accurate? You know, your age range, your height, all of those little components that need to be updated regularly, make sure that it's all in good place. If you're on Broadway World, for example, let's make sure that the picture on there is really reflective of who you are and that all your credits are accurate. And if they're not, we can get that fixed for you. Same thing on IMDb.
I think for me, Ellen, the worst thing is like when somebody sends me a resume and it's a Word document, so the pagination is not right. And so I know you were saying on our Monday, my free online chat for parents of young actors, it was like, you can offer, you know, here's your PDF, you know, or your resume and your photo and your resume in one beautiful document to send out where all the pagination is proper and the fonts are aligned properly and it looks good. I mean, these are basic things.
But you're right.
Yes, I'm always like, why is your photo and resume not stapled together? You know, you've wasted 10 minutes in your audition because I can't find my stapler, you know, and it's just these little things, which is, again, why I wrote Confessions of a Casting Director, because I wanted to just get people to see that if you can do some basic things, you're going to have a better audition. Getting your digital house in order is great. Where and how can people find you? And in addition to some of the services we've discussed, what are some other fun services people can get when they go to stagedoordesigns.com?
So here's where people can find us. Our web address is www.stagedoordesigns, that's plural, .com. Our phone number is 917-426-3290. And anybody can email me at ellen@stagedoordesigns.com. We're on the web, we're on Instagram, Facebook, all that. And we answer the phone all the time.
Yeah, because I would think a lot of parents, I mean, I still get on the phone too with people. They want to have a conversation with you. And I would imagine as we're creating, certainly when we were creating Jen Rudin Casting and Purple Glasses Productions, we're on the phone, you know, like discussing colors and discussing fonts. And I just want to give you a big shout out to you and Carter for designing my red glasses and my purple glasses. Those two icons, those two designs. I get compliments every day from people saying, I love at the bottom of your email, I love those red glasses. I love on your website, I love the glasses. And I always say, I didn't design them, but they're loosely based on my Francis Klein glasses that I wear in real life, but just those designs. So the fact that, so tell us what you offer. You, besides websites, you offer design work.
Yeah, we do offer design work. We do logo work, and we're finding a lot more that clients are coming to us and they're wanting to build like a word mark, if you will, for their name, you know, much like what we helped you do. So we do all kinds of branding services. You know, we can build logos, we can do matching social media covers, business cards. You know, do people still use business cards?
I do.
It's nice. Yeah. You know what? It's a great tool for a staged mom or dad or actor to have a card in their pocket that if they happen to meet somebody, here's my stuff, right? We work with clients on writing bios. We work with clients on helping them, how shall I say it, with their elevator pitch, right? So like I'll often say to a mom, so you get in an elevator and Jen Rudin's on the elevator and you got 4 floors to tell her about your kid. What are you going to say?
So we
help with that, you know, right? As parents, somebody tells you to tell the story of their kid, I could go on for a long time. It would get boring at some point. But what, you know, these kids and young actors and old actors and of any age and stage, they are a business. And so at Stage Door Designs, we help our customers understand how to manage the business of show.
And things have changed so much with technology. I mean, even since 2009, things have changed so much. It's really overwhelming. And I think on the positive end, technology is great. Certainly for self-taping and sending in MP3s for my voiceover casting, which are just thousands of roles and projects that I'm working on, video games and this Netflix animated series I'm doing, you know, sending in an MP3 is great. I've always been an advocate of self-tapes as a first step. Now, of course, we're self-taping right now, you know, for the moment. Technology can be great. it can also be so daunting and can be used, it can also be used for bad. I share in the book, and I'm sure you can share with your parents, one actor who said on Facebook, you know, finally got a commercial audition, glad my agents are doing their job. And his intention was, ha ha ha, I finally have an audition, I'm so excited. And the head of the agency saw that post and called up the client and said, we're terminating our contract with you, because it doesn't matter what the intention was, it was the impact, which we learned, by the way, at Disney when I was an employee there about sexual harassment. It doesn't matter if somebody says, hey, Jen, you look great in what you're wearing, even if he or she was giving me a compliment, if the impact is I felt that was not comfortable, you know, to say something. Yeah. So I mean, how do you guide parents through this sort of social media crazy technology phase and keep them calm? Because I always feel like you're a very calm, rational, you're solving problems with the websites, you're solving technical problems that we as regular people don't know how to do necessarily. So what's your advice or perspective on this crazy social media? People can get so nuts and out of control, and there's so much bad information out there too.
I think there's a couple of things that we talk to parents about, and this is particularly important for the under 18 set, right? Number one, you have to protect your child. So you never want to post what school they go to or what your address is. You want to maintain some level of privacy in a very not private business. But so number one is to protect your child. And if you're setting up social media for a young actor who's 6 or 7 or 8, make sure that it's very loud and clear in your description that this account is parent monitored and that there's parent oversight. As you begin to do more and more social media, we listen to partners that are working. So, if you've just booked, I remember when Zachary booked the First National Tour of Newsies, and of course they wanted, all of their cast members, and he was over 18 at that time, to be out there, tweeting and so on and so forth. But you've got to listen to your partners, and you've got to make sure that you're sending a great message about the project that you're working on, that you're using the hashtags that they want you to use, and that you're creating a lot of interest, obviously, around the project, because you want to help to promote it, right? That's the whole idea. So it's really important to listen. It's really important to ask questions as a parent if you're not sure, what can I post, what can't I post? And I think that's, and I think that project managers, whether it be Broadway or off-Broadway or television or film, they're getting very savvy at obviously having those kind of social media meetings and even giving you guidelines.
And I have adult actor friends who have been in the business for 20 years who are still posting on Facebook, had a great callback at Blue Bloods with Tom, I'm spacing on his name. And it's as I always say, there's something another actor can say to you in that waiting room that's going to make you feel good. It's nobody's business that you were at that callback for Blue Bloods and that the star of the show was doing a chemistry read for a role. It's nobody's business, the same way you shouldn't be talking about your audition when you're in the bathroom stall, because you never know, I could be in the stall next to you, and that has happened many times. So just to with the social media that you're advising and that everybody knows, you can't really post until you get clearance from the production and follow their rules. Cause otherwise it's you're curating and it might not be the right stuff to curate. So,
as parents, it's so exciting when your kid books that job, you just want to tell everybody, right? you can't be the person to make the announcement.
That's great, Ellen. You can't be the person to make the announcement. And also, your kid's at Nickelodeon or ABC, and I see these photos and standing in front of Nickelodeon, right, for an audition, which is so exciting. And Danielle Pressfelder is a friend, a good friend and colleague. I'm always thrilled, but it's your kid got the audition and is at Nickelodeon, but my kid didn't. How do I feel as a parent having just seen that social media. It's not going to make me feel good. And it's so that I think is the stuff that drives me crazy, which is why I did want to touch a little bit about it, Ellen. But mostly we're here to talk about how thrilled I've been with JenRudinCasting.com and Purple Glasses Production. So if anybody is looking, go to StageDoorDesigns.com for Ellen and Carter's company. You can look at my websites. And now really is, as Ellen said, the time to get your digital house in order as we try to stay safe in this world. Any final thoughts you want to give to our listeners? We've got parents, we've got young actors, we've got adult actors, and a lot of people listening to the podcast now, which is very exciting.
Well, I just want to thank you for letting me be a part of this today. It's really very exciting. And a couple things, we are a customer service business, and we want to be there for our current clients, for our future clients. If you just want to do a little inquiry session with us, we actually have a free 15-minute consultation. You can book a session right on our website. It will take you off to a little calendar, and you can pick a time. And, I'm pretty much stuck in my house now, so distract me.
For more episodes of Confessions of a Casting Director, go to JenRudinCasting.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast fix. Please also subscribe, rate, and review. We've got some fun online classes for young actors in voiceover and animation, TV acting analysis, and monologues, all at reduced prices and all on Zoom. So you can check them out and sign up at JenRudinCasting.com/classes-coaching. And if you love the show as much as I love doing it, please consider supporting us with a contribution to keep our episodes produced. You can find the link on JenRudinCasting.com/podcast and support us through Patreon or PayPal. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and stay healthy.